Welcome to the Road Less Traveled with Gary L. And Gigi's boo is in the bed. She's in the bed. And she's hurting shoulders, arms hurting. I think she might be coming down with something nasty. So she's gotten a note from the doctor. And she's not here right now. Just laying in the bed listening. But that's okay. You know, it happens to all of us sometimes. And it was her turn. But something is going on with my audio. Let me see if I can figure this out. I see what's wrong. Let's do that. Much better. Okay, somehow or the other, that got pulled down. So, okay. I think we're here. We're okay. Hello, everybody in the chat room. Thanks. Thanks for the good reports, the audio reports. Let's see what's going on here. We got Asmo. Hey, there's the always, ever-present, I should say, Barman. Beth C., Cowboy Tech, Darth Rome, Grimnir, Moose Girl, Kate, Chalcedony. One of these days I'll get that right. Chloe, two times, Free Enslaved, Graham Z., I Be Don C., two times, Java Doctor, underscore two, Meister Rao, P. Bunyan, Robwork, Sock Puppet, Vinny, Behind the Woodshed, Colfax, Dakota, Yehovah, Wanatako, Kozu, Umbot, Polly B, RLM 24968, hello guest. Suspect Sky is here, along with Phantom. And guess what? Suspect Sky is on the line. So hello, Adrian, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Gary. Thank you for having me again.
You're very welcome. Happy to have you here. Thanks, Grimnir. Got good audio report. And so what have you been up to?
Well, I've been working on a new UFO video that Gary has been helping with. And that's been, you know, really great. It's going to be a October, November sort of footage update, probably focusing a little bit on the Turkish incident and some other great footage that Gary found. And also have another two-part discussion series coming out. And Gary, I actually forget if you were a part of that one or not. I know you were part of the first one, but that should be released pretty soon here as well.
Yeah, I missed the second one.
I thought you might have. I didn't want to assume that. But
yeah, and people need to go to your YouTube page and listen to those. It's Suspect Sky. If you're not on the YouTube, on his, if you're not a subscriber, that's the word. I'm struggling with words today. If you're not a subscriber to Suspect Sky's YouTube channel, then you need to become one. Is how many you have? Like 45, I think, items up on your page. Is that right?
Yeah. So I've been making videos for about 4 years now, and I only have about like 30 videos put together because I try to do quality over quantity, and I have close to about, I think, 70,000 subscribers. Yeah. But yeah, my videos tend to be long and tend to be really in depth.
Yeah.
So a lot of people focus on doing a video every day, but that's just not my style.
Yeah, you have a particular brand that I think is very unique, and anybody who checks them out, I think, will agree with that. I always enjoy it, and of course, I get an email notification every time you put something up, so that's a good thing. So, this next video, it's more UFO things, updates, or what do we?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more UFO focused. So I've been the last couple of weeks been doing along with Gary as well. We've been doing some roundtable discussions regarding some interesting topics such as Oak Island, such as fake news and social media and stuff. So we've been doing some really cool discussion videos, but I kind of wanted to just release a kind of UFO update the last couple months of footage. And Gary and I have put together some exciting clips that we're going to share with you probably this week, if not next week.
Okay, sounds good. And we'll share it around when you put it up. So, and I was watching last night, it was on, UFO Network, I guess it is. I was watching a documentary that they put together. I'll try to pull it up again, if I can remember where I put it. And it's for those who are interested in those sorts of things, it's pretty good, even though it's like this, you know, the sci-fi thing. Yeah, it's UFOs, The Secret History. It's an HD feature film that originates from UFO TV, the Disclosure Network. It's 5 years old, but it's got some history in there that even I hadn't heard of. And I've looked at this for a long time. So let me, I'll drop that in the chat room. Yeah, it's an hour and 5 minutes and 21 seconds. So, but it's got some history there that is very interesting. Oh, thanks, Moose Girl. Moose Girl shared your link to your YouTube page, Adrian. So that's pretty cool,
huh? Thank you. And what I find really interesting too.
I think I lost you. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. I clicked on the link and it popped up an ad. but what I find so interesting though is when you said that it's a 5-year-old documentary,
mm-hmm.
And I find it really interesting about just kind of people in society today that unless it's like current, unless it's, you know, today or the last couple weeks, it seems to lose credibility.
Mm-hmm.
But UFOs have been around for, I mean, contemporary UFOs have been around since the 30s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a strong argument that UFOs have been around since biblical times.
Mm-hmm.
So I just find it interesting that kind of the history of UFOs harkens back all the way to the beginning of time, really. I mean, there are paintings in the Sistine Chapel that depict UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
We have videos from World War II that depict UFOs. We have the Battle of Los Angeles and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just find that interesting, and that it's both a contemporary topic and a historical topic as well.
Yeah, and certainly if you get into Sumerian cuneiform and the interpretations thereof, you know, there's quite a bit of information regarding UFOs and visitors there, so, which actually I find very compelling.
Oh, no, I do as well. And I guess my only point was that historical UFO evidence should be treated and weighted as heavily as contemporary UFO
mm-hmm.
evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you brought up a couple of things when you mentioned the Pizzagate. We were pre-show, we were talking about this, and it's a little bit OT, but this whole fake news business has gotten completely out of control. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I would totally agree. In my opinion, the mainstream media, both the right and the left,
mm-hmm.
Are now using the label fake news to discredit individual journalists, individual reporters and analysts, and is quite an affront to the First Amendment,
mm-hmm.
That your opinion now is capable of being labeled as just purely fake, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually quite a shock to me. I haven't seen this ever before. You know, I went to a website that listed my channel and Ben's channel, Suspicious Observers, as mm-hmm. a fake news channel.
Mm-hmm.
And actually it was kind of funny because my channel was listed as a trailer YouTube series for an unproduced science fiction channel. and that's just totally wrong. So, I mean, they just made up a whole bunch of facts to
right.
fit their little narrative.
and the whole time, there are things actually going on that we're not hearing about, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The fake news kind of phenomenon, in my opinion, is used to distract people from other interesting news stories that might be happening, such as Pizzagate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've taken a pretty deep look into Pizzagate, and it's kind of a scary story it's a scary rabbit hole to dig down into.
Yeah. And switching real quickly back to the UFO, Grimnir points out that UFOs were around well before biblical times, and there are cave paintings and so forth depicting them. He's absolutely right.
Yeah, no, he totally is. The phenomenon has been around forever. Since the inception of humans, the phenomenon has been here.
Mm-hmm. Now, switching back again, how many people heard this story? I'm gonna read a story here, a little bit of one. Norway launches probe on pedophile network involving 51 people, with 20 arrested. We have the clear perception that like-minded individuals met with each other in the so-called dark net, where they could talk with one another and cultivate their interest in children in peace. They told reporters that many of the suspects are highly educated and include lawyers and politicians, two current or former elected officials, one teacher, and a lawyer are allegedly among the accused. How many people heard that story? And the story came out November 21st. Anybody out there heard that story?
Well, I heard that story, but only because of the graces of contributors like yourself and my friend John, who I hope might join our call, but I haven't heard back from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a potential for another call in. But anyway, the story came from the Daily Sabah, which is a Turkish periodical in association with Associated Press. Gigi's Boo has something to say. Go ahead.
There was something that, you know, like you said, it was on the internet. It's called the Undernet. We were brought aware of it not too long ago, and some of our security people within the nation checked it out, and it is there, and there are people from all over the world. And you should see the chat rooms that's listed. I'll get that information for you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate that. All righty. Okay, so some thoughts about all of this. I noticed in chat room no one had heard of that story. Is that surprising at all, Adrian?
It's surprising to me that the whole fake news phenomenon, because I actually saw that story and it was immediately labeled as fake news. Mm-hmm. and probably ignored. And it also brings up to me the idea of search engine optimization, mm-hmm. because the second that you label something as fake, it gets killed in the search engine results.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're looking at stories being filtered by mainstream media online. And I know there's this kind of perception that the internet is a free and totally available information resource.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the SEO algorithms, you realize that depending on what sites are sharing and affecting the link building effects of your story, they can actually push it down. And a famous example of that is George Bush. If you actually Googled the word failure, George Bush would be the number one hit on Google.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because it was a bunch of hackers that were able to operate a what's called an SEO bomb effect. Mm-hmm. So I just find it really interesting that the effects of search engine optimization on people kind of socially and society as well, that you can manipulate the information that people are reading, whether it's fake or called incorrect. It has an effect on people psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think that we're seeing that today with stories such as the Norwegian pedophile ring.
Right.
We're seeing that kind of effect in the media today.
Sure. And to Gigi's Boo, Grimnir and RobWorks both identify Undernet as an IRC network. That's much like the chat room that we use here. It's just a different IRC network. And that's not surprising either. But getting back to the the search engines and the internet in general, it's easy to forget that the origins of the internet were at the time ARPA, Advanced Research Projects Agency, secret or actually black program, and it was created to establish a very redundant communications network in the case of nuclear war. That was the origin of the internet, and then it went to it went public, so to speak. And so it's not surprising that the ability to manipulate search results, that's probably child's play in the bigger scheme of things. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And I have a prior background in internet marketing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a simple kind of formula that you have to follow. You have to research the Google algorithm, and you have to apply certain qualitative standards to your content. And based upon those factors, you can rank higher.
Yeah.
And not only that, though, is if you're kind of in with Google or whatever search engine you might be talking about, mm-hmm. You can petition them to rank your content higher. So I can certainly see companies such as CNN, Fox News, petitioning them to rank their fake news stories, ranking them higher than, say, a Pizzagate analysis by just kind of an individual.
Right.
So I see the internet being curated in much the same way that the mainstream, you turn on your TV, cable news, has been curated.
Well, I think the fact that the UFO phenomenon, the UFO phenomenon is really a big thing. And if you go to sites like MUFON, places like that, there are thousands of reports. Now, of course, a good percentage of them are crazy things or misidentifications or outright hoaxes and whatnot. But nonetheless, there are still hundreds of very reliable reports that never see the light of day otherwise. So it's in that documentary, it was pointed out by one interviewee that the subject of UFOs is the most highly classified thing in the government. And that doesn't surprise me at all.
No, it doesn't surprise me at all either. And Ben and I have actually discussed this in length. We both are of the opinion that world governments have knowledge and proof that the phenomenon exists, mm-hmm. but that they keep it hidden for reasons of preventing social disorder, which makes a lot of sense.
That does. And I would go also, perhaps, I would perhaps say that it could be that they're being told that they have to keep it quiet.
Well, yeah, I mean, that gets into the whole other realm of the New World Order, I think.
Well, I mean, by the entities themselves.
Which I think are at the top of the order.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I agree. I think Grimnir would probably agree with that, too. That's my sense of his thinking. What about that, Grimnir? Do you think the aliens just sit atop of the pyramid, so to speak? I think it probably is. Probably the case. Okay, Rob Works asks, have either of us ever checked out the ESETI, I believe it is, ESETI people at Trout Lake, Washington? No. You ever heard of that?
Yeah. I actually have, and I like their work. And I actually featured a clip from their camp in The Vanishing. So that's a recent video I've done. And they had a really great sighting, and I think they're doing some pretty cool stuff.
Oh, okay. See, I missed that completely. Ha! So much for my research. There we go. ESETI.org, actually. Drop that in the chat.
Their website, honestly, Gary, is a little difficult to navigate, mm-hmm. But they have released some good footage. It might be better to do like a YouTube search.
No, they have a YouTube page?
I don't know if they have a YouTube page, but I was able to find a couple clips just by Googling the ESETI program.
Actually, they do. Then it's linked off their homepage. Let's copy that and throw it in.
Yeah, they have a lot of orb phenomenon, which is always really interesting. And actually, it's kind of funny because my aunt, who is not a alternative minded person, she recently sent me a security cam footage from her house, and there were just orbs all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I was like, yeah, that's a phenomenon called the orb phenomenon. And I was mm-hmm. like, you definitely have to Google that. But it's just funny whenever kind of a novice, you know, kind of suspects like there's something weird going on, and they send you some footage, and you're like, yeah, you should look into, you know, orb phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hal behind the woodshed just posted his archive. So if any of you missed the show live, you might want to go to the archive at reallibertymedia.com and the Behind the Woodshed podcasts, and you can find the archive, BTWRLM192. So check that out. It's always a very, very informative offering that Hal has. But yeah, the orb business, we actually captured orbs when taking pictures of Atticus, didn't we, Boo Boo Bear? Uh-oh, I think we lost.
You're right, Gary.
I said we took, I have to holler across the room. I said we captured orbs on the camera taking pictures of Atticus, didn't we?
Oh, yes.
That was pretty creepy. These orbs floating around his head. Yeah, there were a bunch of them there. Okay, Grimnir agrees that he has no doubt that, quote, they are running the show. Okay, and Adrian had to step away for a couple of minutes, and that's all right. One of the things I wanted to get back to was the Norwegian story via the Turkish news source. And if anyone's questioning the news source, it's actually not only a web page, it is a daily newspaper in Turkey, Istanbul. So it's not, you know, some fly-by-night gin mill that puts out crazy stories. It's a normal, regular newspaper. And in the European section of the web version is where they carried the story on the 21st of November 2016. Personally, while we're waiting for Adrian, personally, I think this whole fake news business roots into a couple of things. Number one, okay, Adrian's back. Number one is the fact that the mainstream media, or the CLAP, as Grimnir calls it, corporate lame-ass propaganda, they went all in on this election. If you're talking Texas Hold'em, they just pushed everything to the middle of the table. They were totally convinced, or at least attempting to convince everyone else, that Hillary was the selectee. And quite frankly, I think she was. But then we talked about that. I kind of had to eat crow on that when it didn't happen, but I'm not so sure that I was wrong overall, because it seemed like in the last two or three weeks prior to the election, things started to take an ugly turn, if you will. There were a lot of data releases, and were just crashing down onto the scene, you know, things from Anonymous, things from WikiLeaks. And then, well, it just didn't happen. I think the fix was there. I believe the election was fixed, but I believe there were forces in the background that undid that. And there were, and you know, it's kind of hard to explain exactly, but there's the controller, the deep state, if you will, made up of a lot of different people. Wow. And these people are the eyes and the ears and of the larger controlling interests of corporations and banks. And these people include folks from the intelligence community, folks from the military, folks from high-level contracting companies. All of them have particular particular skill sets that they can bring to bear. Normally, everyone on the same sheet of music. But what happens when you get a subset of those folks who get mad? Like, get mad at what happened in Benghazi. Get mad at the overextension of the military forces. Get mad about generals and admirals being fired. All these things happening. Well, they might just step up and say, you know what? Screw you. We're going to throw a monkey wrench into your little game. And so what I believe we may have seen was a counter coup in the background. And I think Donald Trump was as surprised as anyone that he got elected. I don't think that was supposed to happen. And so now what we see is the entire overlords are in a state of turmoil. Now we're having all this fake news and all, you know, the whole knee jerk. They're panicking. I think they're panicking. The mainstream media was called out. They were shown to be completely fraudulent. The pollsters were shown to be completely fraudulent. Adrian, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. I definitely think that Trump was the less than ideal choice for the powers that be. That being said, I think that they're going to get their claws into him anyway. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think that we're seeing some of that now, like his whole drain the swamp concept, when in fact he's been appointing some Goldman Sachs representatives for financial positions. But I do think that you are correct that the fake news concept has been, I mean, since when has fake news existed? Mm-hmm. And now it's this kind of national headline story where if anybody disagrees with what the mainstream says, is fake, mm-hmm. whatever that means.
Mm-hmm. So you have the real news, which is fake, and the fake news, which is real.
That's a great way to put it. Yes, right. I would totally agree with that.
In 1984. I mean, how much more closely could you get to that? It's like double speak going on. But I do. I think they're freaked out. The media.
They're getting good at it, Gary. I mean, honestly, they're getting good at counter control. Mm-hmm. I think social media kind of threw them into a tizzy. How do we handle the way that social media works? Mm-hmm. YouTube, internet connected radio shows like yourself. You know, how do we manage this counter control opposition? And I believe they've come up with two ideas. The first being labeling anything that disagrees with the mainstream as fake. And the second being discrediting the sources involved. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you're a discreditable source. And you're fake.
Mm-hmm. Very much like they treat the UFO phenomenon.
Yeah, exactly. For the last 70 years. I mean, there's a lot of good evidence. I mean, I have books that I've read tracing the UFO phenomenon back. I mean, gosh, like to Mothman, mm-hmm. to biblical times. I mean, there it's a really interesting story. And there's a lot of phenomena that can't be explained rationally, but that is just kind of totally disregarded. And I kind of seem the same kind of thing happening with this quote fake news stories, mm-hmm. with Pizzagate or whatever you want to, you know, whichever one you want to climb onto. But yeah, like it's a discreditation because it doesn't fit the mainstream model,
right? And it's challenging the control of certain entities, because if people start to think for themselves, they're in trouble.
Yeah, that's what I always refer to as the corptocracy. It's the big business, big government, unholy alliance that exists, and they don't want you to think outside of their box.
Okay, Sock Puppets made a couple of comments in the chat room. He says it's hard to decide which news to laugh the hardest at nowadays, news about fake news or news. And that any public servant wasting time responding to this fake news issue via any media outlet has no business representing others. Well, that's probably true, too.
Yeah. Well, I would say to him that I think our biggest responsibility right now is to fight the idea that people who have a different idea than the mainstream are, quote, fake.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's actually a really big rallying call. To say, no, CNN, I'm not fake. I'm just a guy on a computer with an opinion. Mm-hmm. And that is my First Amendment right, and you're not going to discredit me.
Yeah. Rob Works makes a really relevant comment here. Counterculture is a class at the School of Americas. Yes, it is. And I think, Adrian, I think you're right. And I also think that people just need to continue doing what they're doing because that's what's worked, right?
Yeah, if we give... would totally agree. As much as I think social media can be controlled, they're not that good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you kind of stay ahead of the curve, you can get information out to people faster than they can stop you from doing it.
Right. So we just need to keep doing what we're doing and keep improving in what we're doing. And this, I mean, I think the evidence is pretty clear that these people are falling apart. They don't know what to do. Now, all they're doing is slinging ad hominem. And I think we all know that that's the weakest form of argument.
Would totally agree. I do think that they are getting nervous. But I also think that they have the resources and the expertise to stop the movement.
Oh, they could.
So we just need to be careful about that.
Right. Well, in fact, I think I read an article. I haven't verified it, but that the Senate passed some sort of bill that outlaws, quote, fake news. Did you see anything like that?
No, I have not, and I am really upset that that even exists.
Let me search here a second. Let me see. So, let's stick with Senate fake news and see if it...
Like, the whole concept of fake news fundamentally pisses me off. Like, I just... The idea that one person's opinion is incorrect simply because a more established source says that it's false, it just bothers me to the core.
Yeah, and I think there again, I tie this back to the whole pedophile issue. I think what's happening is that's the big story. That's the big story they want to try to keep quiet
and discredit those reporting on it.
Right. Senate passes major Portman Murphy counter propaganda bill as part of NDAA. Dateline December 8th.
Counter-propaganda bill.
Wow. Yeah, U.S. Senators Rob Portman and Chris Murphy today announced that their Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act, designed to help American allies counter foreign government propaganda from Russia, China, and other nations, has passed the Senate as part of the fiscal year 2017 NDAA conference report.
Yeah, Russia did it.
Yeah.
It wasn't your own people who are investigating these issues and have a different opinion than what the mainstream has. Russia, you know, quote, Russia did it.
Right. You know, they should be saying,
so absurd.
They should be saying Turkey did it because they're the ones that ran the story on Norway. Yeah. This is, I mean, they're freaking out. I really believe that.
The boogeyman did it.
Yeah. The dog ate my homework. But yeah. We're seeing, and it does, and you know, I know we're kind of straddling two different talking points here, but I think really it still all ties together that when you have phenomena like UFOs or related things, that's very much suppressed. No one wants to talk about that. And certainly not scientists. Oh my goodness, that's the kiss of death for a scientist.
I totally agree. And I think that Ben and I have done some research into this, how there's a protocol for getting budget renewals that are involved that keep you kind of in their political line. Mm-hmm. So you can't theorize outside of the box for fear of losing your budget funding. And what's unfortunate about that is that science is about having an open mind, mm-hmm. is about exploring all possible theories and all possible truths. So mm-hmm. I don't know. It's kind of a bad situation where you have scientists narrowly focused on one line of thought, and you can't exceed that line of thought without risking sort of political, social, and economic problems.
Yeah, they tend to forget that empirical research is every bit as valid as physical evidence. And being your observational sciences, which the UFO phenomenon is largely, that's what it is. But they discount that. That doesn't count.
As a lawyer, empirical evidence is highly relevant. Right. And unfortunately, the community does not consider it highly relevant.
Well, that would go against their company line if they did that. You keep mentioning Ben, and you did earlier mention suspicious observers. You want to share a little bit more about that for those who aren't familiar?
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. So Ben is suspicious observers. We actually were next door neighbors, which is kind of funny. So we grew up together, and he created his YouTube channel, mainly focusing on climate change and the idea that it is not really correlated to human activity. So that climate change exists, but it's not related to human activity. Mm-hmm. It's more related to the sun. Mm-hmm. And so he created that channel, and actually it was kind of the inspiration for me to create my channel, which has more to do with paranormal UFO kind of phenomena, and was designed to more just like let people know that like this phenomena exists, and like there are a lot of people out there mm-hmm. that share that belief and those experiences.
Yeah, and what is largely put forth at the Suspicious Observers site is the concept of the electric universe, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They're all for the electric universe.
And that kind of flies in the face of Newtonian science, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's a whole different way of looking at the universe and how it might operate. And it's a complete affront to the standard model and the mainstream science, which is why I think it's kind of resisted. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. scientists should explore all avenues. Like, I think science by definition should be open-minded. If somebody has a possible explanation to something, it should be explored. And if it's not, then I kind of see political corruption involved.
Mm-hmm. Sure. What's that old saying that paradigms never really change, just the people who hold them grow old and die? But that seems to be the way it is. But I bring all this up because I think they're all interrelated topics. The whole concept you were mentioning last time you were on about the fast radio bursts and the apparent laser lights and different, transmit at the helium frequency or hydrogen frequency, I guess it is. Yeah, all these things. This is all electrical, right? It's vibrational science of one type or another.
Yeah, I mean, I personally believe that extraterrestrial life exists. Mm-hmm. And it's probably very, very common, just statistically. Mm-hmm. And I would also say that our current paradigm of science is a little too cautious with looking into that subject, mm-hmm. looking into that subject. So we kind of have this problem where the people that we provide the authority to tell us, yes, like there is a potential for extraterrestrial intelligence, the people that we kind of grant that authority to are a little bit blindsided, mm-hmm. and they don't consider kind of the greater scientific nebula, because, you know, Ben and I have done a lot of discussions on star water. Like we think mm-hmm. water is a lot more prevalent in the universe than what the mainstream science, the standard model says it is. I think fast radio bursts is a great example of mainstream science kind of ignoring a really interesting phenomenon. Honestly, I think it's kind of to save face because there's just kind of this political, social facade created around it. Mm-hmm. That you can't discuss this topic. You can't seriously discuss these topics without being ridiculed by your colleagues.
Right.
And that, to me, reminds me of a dogmatic kind of position that is attributable to, Spanish Catholicism, mm-hmm. you know, like when they were like burning Galileo, like it's science should be open to questions. It should be open-minded and it should be open to all kinds of theories.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. And what is the possibility? I was just thinking as you were going, explaining that you have this revolving door phenomenon that goes on with government and academia and corporations and all these things. What if a lot of this control is had through the placement of interested parties in government positions that hold the purse strings on federal grant money to scientists and universities and so forth? That if you propose a grant for the wrong thing, you won't get funded. How much effect do you think that might have?
I think that is a huge effect, Gary. I think that the powers that be that control the money, these are bankers, large corporatocracy individuals, as well as their government puppets, I believe that they are pushing an agenda that meets with their social order, mm-hmm. So that we're going to fund people that believe in the way that we want society to believe.
Right.
And I think that's a huge factor, and I think it really affects and disrupts true scientific advancement, mm-hmm. And it's funny. It's funny because I don't have a scientific background. I have a law background. Mm-hmm. So as a lawyer, I question everything. Mm-hmm. And I question the way that our pursuit of truth, scientific truth, has been executed. Mm-hmm. And it's not good. It's not what a lawyer would have required to pursue truth in a court case.
Right.
It's kind of... It's favored to a certain position, mm-hmm. and that's not fair if you're looking at the pursuit of scientific truth from a more like altruistic position.
Right. Well, I mean, you say you're not trained as a scientist, but actually, to effectively practice law, you have to think very much like a scientist, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I totally would agree. I mean, I have to question everything and deny everything until it's proven. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of kind of wishful thinking on the side of the climate change mm-hmm. individuals in particular, where they're just like, every other scientist says this, so I'm going to say it too. Mm-hmm. That's not concrete evidence.
No.
No, not at all. Or I'm not going to touch this subject because no other scientist has touched this before, right. Such as the UFO phenomena.
Well, I think it speaks volumes when you shift from anthropogenic global warming to climate change, and we've just dropped the definition into a whole another ball game. Now climate change, nobody can argue against climate change. Climate change is natural, normal, and has gone on for as far back as we know. I
actually had a great argument with a friend of mine who is fully in the camp of climate change is caused by people. And I had a great argument with him, and I was like, well, there's this other side of the story that says it's not caused by people. Mm-hmm. It's caused by the sun. Mm-hmm. And isn't it dangerous to assume its source is people when in fact it's not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, here we are applying policy and we're giving scientific research to individuals and corporations, assuming the source is people, is carbon dioxide produced from coal factories and whatnot, when in fact it might not be.
Right.
And so we're wasting resources on something that isn't true. And he was like, oh yeah, like maybe we should look into like an alternative theory for it.
Mm-hmm. Hal points out that conservation scientists are not scientists. And I know where he's going with that. He talks a lot about that on his show. And the fact that there probably really isn't any such thing as real science anymore. It's all corporate science. It has a particular agenda that is desirable to be fulfilled. And that's the direction science has gone. As far as the old school empiricist who sits back and ponders the nature of the world and creates theories and hypotheses and then attempts to either prove or disprove them. Very, very few and far between, probably because you can't make any money doing that now. You have to tie yourself to someone's agenda in order to make a living. How would you react to that idea?
Would totally agree. I think that science today is more business. It's more, how do we get funding? You know, we have to have the political and social agenda that meets with our funders' personal beliefs. I would totally agree with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a real problem, because science is supposed to be open-ended and non-biased, mm-hmm. but we see that today.
No, and one of the directions that Hal addresses this is the property mining law, and how the environmentalists come against the, you know, that create these really crazy scenarios that impact property rights and mining rights. And so that's where the whole concept of no science. I mean, you have these UN Agenda 2030 folks, just twisting things around in order to take people's rights away. And he speaks.
No, that's a great point, because like, as much as you want to respect science, and like I do, but like you have to respect people's rights. Period. And that's kind of a societal shift that has been happening for a while. I mean, people own their land. Mm-hmm. People have a voice. Like, they can, I hate to say it, they can burn a flag. Mm-hmm. They can do whatever they want, because like those are the rights that like have been fought for generations. and this kind of collectivism, this idea that we need to, you know, all submit to like the collective good, which happens to be determined by 6 to 10 elite people,
right,
in part of the environmental cabinet, it's disturbing.
Well, it is, and there's no question about it, and it goes on, and we've almost become numb to it. It goes on in so many aspects of life now, and it's another off-topic rant. I have to say this, and I hope some of these people might actually be listening. I don't know. I had the occasion to take my grandson to his Cub Scout meeting this week. It's not the first time I've done that. And it's at a church, a very large church with a large, you know, social area, I guess you'd say. Lots of tables and all this sort of thing. So I go in, sit down with him, and all the other parents are there. And then there are different packs are split up and sent in their various directions to do different things. And I look around, and every adult, and there were a lot, every adult had a stupid cell phone in their faces the whole time. Now, even the ones, I walk back to his little room where they were doing their little experiment thing, and even the adults who were supposed to be helping with the kids, they got their cell phones in their faces. And I'm sitting there thinking, this looks like something out of the Matrix. I kind of flipped out a little bit. I'm looking around saying, all these people, they got their phone in their face. They're sitting next to one another, no conversation. They're sitting there with their phones in their face. Do you see this happen much, Adrian?
Yeah, I definitely do. As much as social media has promoted alternative thinking, they are countering that effect with calculated programs such as you got to pay to rank higher. Mm-hmm. So I see the social media phenomenon becoming another mechanism of control.
Well, these people are certainly under control.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen them as well.
It's like I'm sitting, what? I mean, I don't get out much. I mean, trust me. I stay to myself for the most part. But
me too, man.
I was like freaked out. I said, what is going on here? Yeah. Let me see a couple of comments from the chat room.
We talked about self-induced propaganda in our last discussion video.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. Like, it's these technological platforms provide the way for you to kind of self-deceive yourself.
Echo. And,
it's scary, but it's a way that the mainstream media and the way that the powers that be can be like, hey, go at it.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you adhere to our kind of timeline, our narrative, that we're going to let you like continue to share like this kind of content, and we're going to continue to like sponsor this content and expose you to more of the content that meets your own kind of self-induced like propaganda.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting you bring that up, because they create this echo chamber that you can willingly place yourself inside, and all the things that you believe, all the whatever it is, you know, that you're interested in, they'll reflect it back to you, and along the way they'll attach little advertisements to it to try to sell you things. So they'll make you really happy, fat, dumb, and happy, if you will, by letting you hear what you want to hear at the same time, as long as you're buying stuff from them. Is that an accurate view of it?
I absolutely think that's an accurate view of it. And I want to kind of challenge the detractors ahead of time that, yes, Skype, Facebook, social media, they provide a voice for people that wouldn't have one. So it does connect communities together, but they do provide an opportunity for control. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're cognizant and aware of that opportunity for control, you can kind of steer your way around it. Mm-hmm. So like the fact that Gary and I are on Skype right now talking to one another, yeah, like we're like-minded individuals that happen to connect via social media, mm-hmm. but there is the potential for social media to influence you and to control you. And as long as you're smart enough to like meander your way through it, you just have to be careful.
You do. And our time is up. Wow. This has been a fast hour. Thanks so much for being here, Adrian.
Oh, no, thank you, Gary, very much.
And we look forward to having you again. And I'll let all you guys know when the latest documentary comes out. This is going to be neat. It's always fun. Thanks to Adrian. Thanks to Grimnir. Thanks to all the chatters and the listeners. And hopefully Gigi's Boo will be back next time feeling better. And we'll see you again on The Road Less Traveled. Y'all take care. Bye-bye. Thank you.